February 21st, 2013. You're listening to the Bob Tuskin Show. Tonight we'll talk with David W5MZ about ham radio as a positive solution and alternative communications. When the internet goes down, what are you going to do? I'm going to freak out. I know that's for sure. But first, let's go to a Intel Hub News Brief.
Welcome to the Intel Hub News Brief. Uncovering the cold hard truth that the corporate media just can't handle. A service of the IntelHub.com. Now, here's Bob Tuskin from the Bob Tuskin Show.
Well, this week, Charlie Rangel, a crazy politician from New York who has recently been pushing for regulations on private gun ownership, is now putting forward a bill that would force young people to take up arms for the state, or at least work in some uniformed way to help the government with their never-ending war effort. Absolutely crazy. The new bill would require the conscription of all persons between the ages of 18 and 25 to, quote, perform national service. Well, listen to this. Aaron Swartz. His FBI file has been released on Scribd with two pages missing. Exceptions aside, the records reveal that the FBI investigated Swartz for his role in accessing the public access to court electronic records documents. Swartz himself was aware that he has been investigated and would later send a Freedom of Information Act for his own FBI file. In good news here, fluoridation discontinued in St. Croix Falls. The Public Works Department in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, pulled the plug on the city's fluoridation pumps on the morning of February 12th, a controversial decision made by the city council and a very good one. And last but not least for our Intel Hub News Brief tonight, Jesse Jackson Jr. pleads guilty to conspiracy. No, this isn't a conspiracy theory, whatever that is. Former Representative Jesse Jackson, the Democrat from Illinois, Barry Sotero's home state, pled guilty to one count of conspiracy today in a U.S. district court after allegedly misusing hundreds of thousands of campaign dollars on personal expenses like a gold-plated Rolex and fur capes for his wife. How sweet. Did you donate any money to Jesse Jackson anyways? I know I sure as hell didn't. But anyways, this is getting a lot of attention in the lamestream media, of course, and, well, it just shows how these politicians are so full of you-know-what. You know, to be quite honest, I am disillusioned with all politicians for the most part. I see an importance of the role of sheriff in our local communities. I could potentially go for, that there's a need to get active politically as far as grassroots levels are concerned with your sheriff's office, with your city commissions and that kind of thing. So I could see that. You know, I'm not completely poo-pooing the political process, but, I mean, the presidential election, for instance, receives way too much attention, way too much. Anyways, I digress. Tonight on the show, Ham Radio, Before the Internet and Now. David W5MZ will be our guest. He'll come on every month to take a look at, well, ham radio and how it could be a positive solution to protect us in serious times. When the grid goes down and all other communications fail, ham radio is there. And that's why I'm very excited about tonight's show here on the Bob Tuskin Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Bob Tuskin Show.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled B-I-O-A-G-E.com. bioage.com or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a seven-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a four-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
It's on the Bob Tuskin Show. Imperative that we get prepared in these serious times that we're living in. You never know what's going to happen, whether it's a false flag that might create havoc on our grid, on our distribution system, on our internet communications. You know, the internet kill switch is always there in the background, ready to go at any time. Anyways, the bottom line is, what do you do? How are you getting prepared? And have you even given any thought how we would communicate with one another? You know, I'm somebody who depends greatly on communication. As a talk radio host, as an activist, I use the internet and the airwaves as a platform to communicate, to vent, to organize, and to get active. So for me, it is quite imperative that I have access to different channels of communication. That's the bottom line. And it's not just me. In an emergency situation, when the nanny state's not going to be there to protect you, to save you, are you able to call on somebody? Are you able to communicate with those out there, those first responders and the brothers and sisters in our communities to make sure they're safe, to actually... Anyways, I don't have to say any more. That's what my guest is going to do tonight. David, W5MZ, over. Are you there?
Yes, Roger, Roger. I am here, Bob. It's wonderful to be here.
What's the lingo? What would you say? Because I'm still learning about ham radio, folks. What would the lingo be to say hello to somebody in ham radio speak?
Oh, that's easy. Hello.
Wow, it's very similar to English. Wow.
Yeah, no, you just say hello.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Does everything sound like this? Hello, David.
Oh, no. It really kind of depends on what band you're on, but okay. Some of it actually is pretty high fidelity stuff, you know, so you've got, you know, good solid communications. You know, it's a whole lot farther along than CB is. You were talking about, you know, in disasters, you know, you have all sorts of disasters. I mean, real stuff, you know, fires, floods, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes, ice storms, blizzards. I mean, we've been seeing a lot of this. Heck, we've even seen rocks falling out of the sky messing a bunch of stuff up. So anything's possible. And these things are real. These things do happen. It's not a matter of if it will happen to you. It's a matter of when, because these things do happen. And it is always best to be prepared. You know, we've all thought about we need clean water, we need food, we need shelter. And these things are very important. But a lot of people haven't thought too much about communications because we take that so for granted in this society where we just pick up our cell phone, we dial a number, or we, you know, send a, you know, Twitter, or you send an email or something like that across the internet, and we don't give a moment's thought to, you know, how that's actually working. And all of these things, the phones and the internet, you know, all rely on these centralized hubs, you know, which gives it, you know, the single point of failure, you know, whether or not that failure is induced by a real bona fide disaster. And, you know, there's a lot of damage, or there's, you know, some, you know, power hungry tyrant with a kill switch. I think it'd be a cute idea to cut everybody off. That could happen in a heartbeat with all of the electronic communications we're used to using and take completely for granted. You know, so it comes down to the situation. You have to think about what do we do in that particular situation? How do we communicate and coordinate with each other? Because that is a very valuable thing, because we are a lot stronger together. And when we can work together to, you know, recover from a disaster or, you know, whatever adverse situation is happening, we're going to be a lot better off than just trying to fare it alone.
I think that's obvious. Absolutely. David, you're right here that before there was the internet, there was amateur radio. After the internet, there will still be amateur radio.
Yeah, absolutely. What we were talking about in that article, you know, was the digital communications, you know, because back when I got into the amateur radio a long time ago, in the way, way, way long ago, in the before time, this is before many people were on the internet. Very few people had actually heard of the internet, and we were able to interface our computers together all the way across the country and send things like emails and, you know, small little file attachments, you know, no big media or anything like that. It's all kind of slow and over the air. But we were doing these kinds of things, you know, prior to anybody else getting on the internet. You know, we had pioneered some of this wireless technology that we're using now. Of course, they've taken in, you know, a few dozen steps further, but we still have the resources to do this digital stuff. And a lot of it's still, you know, the old slow legacy stuff, but they're starting to get on the UHF side where they've got, you know, megabit links. And, you know, we could build, you know, one heck of a backbone and transfer a lot of data back and forth completely autonomously without any wires or anything else, and having as many hubs as you want where you can just route traffic from place to place. You know, this isn't anything new. And as vulnerable as our grid is to things, and as centralized as these internet hubs are, there's not too many places you'd have to take out if you're, say, an enemy or something like that to shut down communications. You know, they just have this fetish for centralizing everything. Gotta have everything centralized, you know, because we have to have these dependencies and control, 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 and it ends up backfiring 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, it never works. When you put the power in somebody else's hands, namely an institution like the government, you're up for a rude awakening. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. So you have to take the communication matter into your own hands. So what do you do? Well, there's a lot of different things that you can do, and studying about amateur radio a little bit certainly give you a good head start, because there's a very large community of people that are on the airwaves constantly on, you know, many different bands, many different spectrums all over the place, and we are trained, you know, for these disasters. We practice drills and what we're going to do for passing traffic, and eventually it ends up happening where we have something like a flood or, you know, an ice storm or something that communications gets knocked out. And who does the community end up coming to? The amateur radio community. These people are still talking, and nobody else is, but they are, so they can help us pass information, or what we call traffic.
Interesting. So what did people talk about on a normal day-to-day basis with ham radio?
Everything. You know, when you're just in peacetime and there's no drills or anything going on, there's no disasters, oh, people are talking about everything. And you'd actually be surprised how many people are talking about all the problems that are plaguing society and with the corporations running amok, you know, with the politicians not representing the people anymore and the threat to the Second Amendment. I mean, these are very commonplace topics. You can spin up and down the vans and you hear these kinds of things all the time. You know, in fact, I had a conversation with a gentleman this morning about diabetes and high fructose corn syrup, and I was not the one to bring it up.
Interesting.
You know, so there's a lot of people talking about, you know, the things that we really need to be aware of. It's a really cool thing, and it's not a service as far as, like, say, your cell phone service, because there's nothing to cut off. You know, once you've got the hardware in place, you can talk on it as long as you want to whoever you want. It doesn't matter. You know, there isn't a bill to pay. There isn't some switch that can be thrown to keep the stuff from working. And we also are very well adept at all the emergency power and backup systems and, you know, being as we get called in on a lot of these communication emergencies, we're very well practiced in these adverse situations. So having access to the amateur radio community, even if you're not a ham yourself, if you just have a neighbor or a friend, they're going to be able to get information in and out. You know, things like health and welfare traffic, you know, say there's a widespread disaster and you're trying to find out, you know, if your mother across town is okay. Well, you know, that's what we do. You know, we pass that traffic along until it gets close enough where somebody just goes knock on the door. Hey, are you okay? You know, that's one of the things that we do.
So in an emergency situation, walk me through this. Okay. The grid's down. Without electricity, can people still use these devices? Maybe that's a dumb question.
Well, no, not really. They don't rely on the mains. A lot of radios are battery powered. You have portable units, you know, all over the place, and we like to keep our batteries charged up. You know, but a lot of them, you know, can run off of 12-volt systems that are really easy to install and keep charged. And then, you know, for longer-term things, you have, you know, things like, you know, generators and the things like that. And not all the equipment takes a whole lot of power. One of the philosophies of amateur radio is use the minimum amount of power to properly establish whatever communication. If you can talk to somebody with 1 watt, you know, why waste the energy pumping 1,500 watts out into the air? There's just no reason for it.
Do they have solar run ham radios, that kind of thing?
Well, the radios themselves, no, but they are very well suited for hooking up to you know, battery and a solar panel, you know, where you could just keep the thing going pretty much ad infinitum.
Interesting. Yeah, because that would be important.
That's actually very common. That was a conversation I'd actually gotten into the other day with another buddy of mine on one of the local repeaters, you know, about solar power. And we had a long discourse about, you know, solar power and, you know, backup systems and batteries and things like that. I mean, just listening to the amateur bands alone, you're going to get a lot of information about communications and technology and emergency preparedness.
Interesting. Dave, we're going to take a break in a little bit, but I want to understand exactly how they have been effective in past emergencies. Let's use the recent Hurricane Sandy incident. How did ham radio operators prove to be effective with that event?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty good example, and I would have thrown a couple out there first, but that's a good one. When we knew that there was going to be a catastrophic storm in the area, we started what's called a net, you know, which is basically an online, you know, over-the-air meeting of people, you know, where we all, you know, check in and we start passing, you know, information and traffic, you know, in and out of the area and coordinating with the people that are in the local areas where we can communicate, you know, more widespread and pass traffic from here to here. We already had all these things in place and we're ready for the power to go out, and it did. It messed everything up pretty good, but we were already ready for it and the communications were already happening.
All right, when we get back, you'll have to bottom line and tell us how exactly they helped. Don't go anywhere.
The Bob Justin.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
We're using a natural disaster as an example for when it is necessary to utilize ham radio, amateur radio, of course. And, well, it's not just natural disasters that we should be worried about. There are all sorts of false flags and other man-made potentials that are out there. But the example we were using in which it already took place and ham radio operators were proven to be effective was the Sandy hurricane, or Hurricane Sandy, rather. Let's say it properly. Dave, how let's bottom line this, and then we'll get to discussing some of the actual technologies at hand here to operate one of these things. But how were they effective in helping out during that disaster? I know cell phone communications were down and so on and so forth, so I would imagine they were very useful.
Oh, absolutely, in a lot of different ways. You know, being able to relay information about the changing weather occurrences going on was also very helpful since the internet and all the other communication lines were down, and being able to relay stuff back to the weather service so that, you know, they could be abreast of what was going on and make sure they had the most up-to-date information for whatever, you know, warnings and stuff that they give. That's a very routine occurrence in Skywarn every time there's severe weather. I'd mentioned the health and welfare traffic before, you know, family members trying to find out if somebody in the area was okay because there was no communications and no other way to get a hold of them. We did that. You know, we helped emergency services, get to the scene of, various emergencies and, life-saving situations, you know, when there wasn't communication and you couldn't get somebody, start making some phone calls, you know, because all that was down, you know, so somebody on the radio would say, hey, you know, we got an emergency over here. You need to, you know, go over there and kind of help, you know, dispatch on that. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on and on, you know, it's keeping people in touch with each other, which is absolutely crucial when you have a disaster situation and lives are in peril.
Absolutely. Dave, let's talk about some of the technologies at hand here. Is it expensive? Is it for those out there who are not real good with the technology magilla? The hell was that word? You know what I mean, though. Those out there that have a phobia of technology.
Of the doomaflachi and then the whatcha jigger and all that.
The let's just talk gibberish for the rest of the show.
No, let's not. Let's talk about that because that's actually kind of important. As far as the expense, you can spend as much money as you want to on it. You can sink a whole lot of money into it if you wanted to.
$1 million.
Oh, yeah, if you wanted to. I mean, you get all the best radios and you'd have, you know, radios for every room and every hand and, you know, every orifice of your body if you wanted to. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous and there's no need to do that. Because there's an awful lot of used equipment out there that, you know, people get new stuff and then they end up selling it and, you know, swap meets and on eBay and Hamfest and things like that. It's amazing, you know, how cheaply you can pick out equipment that's, you know, only 5 or 10 years old. And even the stuff that's 20, 30, 40 years old is still in widespread use. And this stuff, you know, lasts and lasts and lasts. And you can get decent radios for under $100. You know, they can talk to a lot of different stuff. You know, it depends on whether or not you want to do the, VHF, UHF, or HF. There's a very big difference between the two. Now, everybody's probably familiar with those Motorola talk-about walkie-talkies. So, they operate on UHF and are talking to each other point to point. And we have that on the VHF and UHF bands. We have a lot of that, and it's really good for local area communications. And when we're able to use a repeater system up on a tall building or on a mountaintop or, you know, just, you know, some big tower and in the middle of a clearing, you know, we're able to extend the range of those, you know, very effectively. And when we link those systems together, we can cover an entire state and have people talking to each other with portable walkie-talkie style radios all over the place, you know, without any problem at all. And it just kind of depends on, you know, what you want to do. You know, for the longer distance stuff, you know, you use what most people would call shortwave, you know, which is HF. And, you know, it's a little bit different technology. There's no repeaters on them. It's all direct. Most of it for voice uses what's called single sideband. And you can go to my website, W5MZ.com, and look at the various bands and some information about the modulation schema. So we won't, you know, get into a whole lot of that here, but we will pick this up in future shows. And if you've got questions about it, you know, definitely call in here in the last segment and we'll answer all the questions that you've got. There is so many different kind of radios out there from so many different manufacturers. It's amazing. And even the Chinese have gotten into it, and they're actually making these very inexpensive dual-band VHF, UHF radios that you can pick up brand new for under $100, you know, which was, you know, unheard of just a few years ago. Now, they're probably not the most reliable radios in the world, but hey, you know, go figure how that works. You kind of get what you pay for. But like I said, what I would recommend if you're just getting into it is get involved with your local amateur radio clubs, and you can find a lot of information on that by going to ARRL.org, and you can find local clubs and start talking to people because, you know, we almost always have extra equipment for sale. I mean, every ham in their right mind is always getting new stuff and selling all their old stuff, you know, so there's always, you know, this influx. In fact, there's a lot of free equipment out there. You run into a lot of situations where people just want to give stuff away.
Awesome. All right, we'll come back and continue our conversation on ham radio with David, W5MZ.
Extend Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
Are you a ham radio operator? If so, I want to hear from you. What's your take on ham radio? Are you interested in getting involved? Do you want to talk with David, W5MZ? Or are you, let's see here, what other questions do I have for the callers, Dave?
I think it's more important for them to ask the questions. If they got questions, you know, we'll certainly try to answer them.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the various technology and just starting to kind of get into the HF. Now, see, the HF works different. You know, you're not just limited to, you know, your one local town area. It stretches out all over the place. You know, some bands, you know, are, you know, multiple states. You know, some of them, you know, cover the entire country. Some of them can even cover the entire world. And you're able to talk to people directly with the radio stations, just equipment to equipment. movement all over the world. So, you know, it's very hard to keep things a secret when you got a talkative bunch of folks like us ham radio operators that like to talk about everything. All you got to do is just listen, and you get a lot of information about what's going on the ground all over the place.
Have I given you a hard time yet tonight on the show about having to have a license to handle?
No, you haven't. You haven't indeed. I kind of see the argument against, we have to have this privilege, but if you look at it, okay, the commercial licenses, allow a radio station to transmit on one frequency, and some of the public service bands have three or four or five frequencies. And amateur radio is a whole different ballgame. It is completely free, and it is renewable every 10 years for free. You just send in a form and it just gets renewed, and you've got access to many megahertz worth of bandwidth, large, chunks down, 1.8 to 2 megahertz, 3.5 to 4, 7.3, all sorts of bandwidth, and it's all over the place, and the really desirable bands that, go across the world. And then you've got the VHF, the 144 to 148, and the very popular UHF, 420 to 450, and it's very similar to what you have with the police radios and your ambulance radios and all of that running. It's the same kind of technology. We pioneered all of that, and our amateur radio license gives you broad scoping privileges to go across any of these bands that you want for your license class and talk about anything you want any time of the day.
Right. Awesome.
There really is a lot of freedom involved with it. Yeah, I kind of don't like that you have to go get permission, but at the same time, it kind of enforces a little bit of minimum standard.
Whatever.
You do have to know a few things.
Well, you
in order to really properly
things.
Operate.
I mean, yeah. you can know these things for the sake of wanting to properly operate them, not because you need the nanny state to say it's okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it just kind of goes hand in hand. Now, we won't even talk about the nanny state because in a disaster, when you are trying to save lives.
The government's going to save me. FEMA will, right?
Well, then screw them. Let's not talk about them for a minute. Let's talk about not having a license when there's an emergency. By the FCC rules, I am not a licensed person for anything. And there's somebody dying there. The phones aren't working. I can't get a hold of anybody. I can pick that radio up and talk to anybody on the other end of that radio to get that person help to save that life.
Like I need your permission?
No, you don't need permission for that. I mean, you're just...
Like I need your permission that I don't need permission?
Okay.
I like to be difficult. We've had this conversation many times before.
You do that so well, too.
I love it. All right, David, let's take a caller here. Richard in Washington, please, your call letters, is that what they're called, call letters?
Call sign.
Your call sign, please, Richard.
I'm a super sleuth par excellence.
That's not a legitimate call sign, Richard.
I'm not legitimate. What do I need?
What's up, buddy?
I always look at the worst-case scenario. Since 1954, we've been under secret weapons for quiet wars, and we have to have voluntary consent, which means they have to tell us what's going to happen. So my question is, what's going to happen if we have the massive EMP false flag, which essentially they beta-tested in California, Arizona about a year ago? How is any kind of communication going to handle such an event?
Good question.
Okay. That is a very good question. Okay, first of all, let's talk about EMP for a second. Now, what that does is send so much energy out over all of the airwaves across all the spectrum that it tends to like to fry stuff. But what ends up happening is...
Who doesn't like fried stuff, by the way?
Oh, you know, fried stuff's good stuff. I love fried stuff.
I'm so ADD tonight. Go ahead.
hey, you need some medication for that. The farmer's got you covered there, okay, so it's all good. Right. Okay, so you've got, all these long wires, the power grid and, all this stuff. It attracts the EMPs like nobody's business into the long wire stuff. So it's a good practice that when you're not using your radio equipment, you unhook it from the antenna, because the little small microcircuitry inside of small radios isn't really going to be that affected by it. If you've got it shielded and unhooked, it's going to be just fine. As long as you're not on the air when the EMP hits, you just keep right on talking right after it's all done. There's no problem with that at all. And that's just, proven fact. and even some of it may survive. But, you know, all the stuff that's hooked up to the power grid, if you have anything, you know, powered up, it could very well take some damage. You know, it's a reality. That's why a lot of us have backup radios that we have in metal boxes, that if something like that happens, we just go get the other radio and plug it back in and just keep right on going. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen, but we are prepared if that eventuality happens, because, okay, all the people that aren't prepared have already just gotten all of their electronics and communications completely knocked out. But yet, because of our preparedness, we're still talking. We're still going to be talking. It doesn't matter, you know, how big of an EMP they set off for. If it could fry, you know, the entire power grid for the entire country, you know, we still have our backup batteries and our backup generators, our solar panels, and all sorts of ways to power things. And we just, hey, if we've got to get a different piece of equipment, we got to get a different piece of equipment. It happens sometimes, and we're ready for that.
Well, that's my perspective, as we're underrating the powers that have been running the world for about 3,000 years now. So I asked the question because I hope you would put out the word that this is kind of what we have to be prepared for. And unless you're prepared for the ultimate extreme situation, you're probably not prepared at all.
I agree.
Yes, absolutely. You got to be prepared for the absolute worst case scenario that you can ever imagine, and then multiply it by 10. And then maybe you'll be prepared enough. It's just, you know, a matter of having redundancy in your assets and in your methods. And having things planned out and practiced, and you know what you can and can't do in whatever situation pops up. So you've got a very good point,
Richard. You have to be stocked up on lots of rice and potatoes.
Well, I'll give you a worst case scenario on another show, but that ain't going to help in my scenario. So I'll wait to talk to you then. Great show.
We have to follow up on the health stuff. Richard called in last night. I don't know what to make of the guest we had on, Richard. You know, I like to explore both sides, as we should, right? All right, I'll take that.
I think the MD status, that kind of gives him away.
When you brag about being a doctor, huh?
We used to call him, when I was, quote-unquote, thinking about med school, minor deities. You got to worry about those kind of individuals.
I mean, that appeal to authority complex is prevalent, not just with doctors, but especially with doctors.
Well, especially when I brought up a whole culture called the Maasai Warriors, and he said, oh, that's too small a group. I'm going, if it's 7 foot tall and runs like the wind and lives forever, I'm thinking I want to join that small group.
Well, you got them going last night. Let's not digress any further, though. They can check the archives.
Take it away.
At the website. Thanks so much, Richard. David, ham radio, 800-313-9443 if you want to call up. Can they call with a ham radio? I guess not. I guess it doesn't work on the phone lines.
Well, actually, there is something called a phone patch. It's not as widely used anymore because, well, first of all, you know, the phones are still on the grid, and, you know, they're not going to be any better than the cell phones. They've been replaced by the cell phones. But back before people had cell phones, we could dial into our repeaters and then, you know, push a little code and then dial a phone number and talk to somebody over there. That was commonplace 20 years ago. I mean, we were doing that all the time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting stuff. David, what's the future of ham radio? Do you think it's going to continue to grow, or is it a dying hobby?
Yeah, I'd like to think that it is growing, probably not as fast as we would like it, but there's definitely a lot of new people getting involved. You know, we just had a licensed test session back in, I guess it was January, and inducted, you know, 8 new hams, you know, from our area, you know, and got them on the air for the first time. You know, so there's still lots of people still interested, and if you listen to the airwaves, there's lots of traffic out there. They're being used. They're being fully utilized. You know, so I would say it's not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, it's a long and proud tradition, and, you know, it does kind of change as the technology changes, but, you know, we get access to more and more spectrum. You know, above a certain frequency, we have all the rest of it. You know, up above 300 gigahertz, which is a ridiculously high frequency, but it is what it is. Everything above that, it's all amateur radio, all of it, you know, 100% of it. You know, so as new technology gets developed, you know, we'll get access to more and more stuff. We've got access to equipment that can do spread spectrum, and that is legal in some of the amateur bands. We've got all sorts of digital modes in the UHF bands where we can send megabits, you know, across the air with no problem at all. You know, so it has matured a lot of it. Just about everything, really.
David, when all else fails, right? The question that I have is, could the government, or the powers that shouldn't be, as I like to refer to them, could they possibly interrupt, block, censor, cancel ham communications? Is it as susceptible to that kind of thing as, let's say, the internet or AM or FM or other phone communications?
Oh, it's nowhere near as susceptible to that. First of all, any of the broadcast communications on AM or FM or TV or whatever have to have those little female little black boxes where, you know, they can push a button and take over your signal. We do not have that on amateur radio. And we have our own transmitters. We are talking to each other across whatever spectrum or airwaves that we want. And there's no centralized point of control on that. So there's no switch that they can flip. It's impossible. Whereas it is possible to jam radio communications in order to block off enough spectrum, you know, to keep us from talking, they're going to keep themselves from talking on the radio spectrum as well. So no, probably not too likely. And
right.
Since we have a tradition of helping with emergencies and disasters, the communities are very pro-amateur radio because, you know, we step up and save lives. And, you know, in an adverse situation, they're going to want us to help them, which we normally do. You know, so the last thing they're going to be tolerating is somebody coming in and interfering with the communications that are saving their lives.
So could I possibly, let me just play devil's advocate for a moment, could I possibly go on the airwaves and jam it, so to speak?
Yeah, that does happen. There are people that are out there, malicious, you know, that are trying all sorts of stunts to keep people quiet, you know, because there are some, you know, people out there that are very outspoken, that we're talking about every little, you know, problem that's going on that the media is refusing to talk about, except for the independent media, of course, like, you know, your show, you know, but, you know, like, you know, MSNBC and, you know, CBS and, you know, all of them, and won't talk about it, you know, so we talk about it. And that upsets some people, you know, that challenges their little viewpoint of reality, you know, the fact that we've been lied to, you know, kind of pops their bubble and they get really mad at you, and, you know, or they're paid, which is entirely possible because you have the, you know, COINTELPRO kind of stuff going on. You know, they get out there, we'll jam and just make all sorts of noise and talk over you and, you know, cause all sorts of problems when you end up changing frequencies and getting away from it. I mean, it's, they can't really keep you from doing it. They can annoy you. They can annoy the hell out of you, though, and it does happen from time to time.
Yeah, that would be so annoying to go on and have some communications where you're being interrupted by the trolls that we see on the internet. I mean, because essentially that's what some of these people are. They're just trolls, right?
Oh, yeah, and we have trolls that are just as bad on there. I hate to say it, but it is true. A lot of places are pretty devoid of that. I mean, you don't have a lot of that going on everywhere, but there are concentrations of it. Listen to 14.313 megahertz, you know, every day there in 20 meters, and you'll hear lots of trolls on there. I mean, you know, those poor people are getting harassed, you know, up one side and the other, and, you know, it's, there's a lot of, you know, bad folks out there, you know, and that's just the case.
Sure.
But there's also a lot of really good folks out there,
right.
And that most of the hams are really nice people and will go out of their way to help you get your station on the air, you know, sit there and teach you stuff and talk with you and help you debug problems, you know. So having access to the amateur radio community, you know, having your call sign being legitimate and all that, you know, really opens up a lot of doors for you, because some of the people might talk to you if you're not licensed, but most won't, unless it's an emergency. And if it's an emergency, we don't care who you are. We're going to help you out. It just does not matter.
Let's generalize for a moment. Who runs ham radios? Is that what they're called, ham radios? Or who is a ham operator? Are they people that may listen to the alternative media? Have you found that they're more open-minded, perhaps, more aware of the tyranny we face?
Oh, yes, very much so. There's a lot of people that are, you know, aware of the independent media. I like to call it independent media rather than alternative, because alternative has a connotation to it that it's less than what it should be. And independent is really what it is. So we're just going to call it the independent media. And there's lots of people listening to it. And then there's lots of people, you know, that have, you know, very strong viewpoints about what's going on, that, you know, find it to be absolutely essential to talk about it and get the information out, and, you know, using the radio transmissions of amateur radio, they do. And I'm one of those people, you know, that, you know, I don't go cramming stuff down people's throat, but hey, when topics get brought up, hey, I'm right there, Johnny, on the spot with some information. Hey, you want to talk about this? Let's talk about this. You know, let's have a conversation about this, because that's the first step in trying to solve a problem, is identifying the problem and talking about it.
Right. David, your website for our listeners to check out, and what can they find there?
W5MZ.com. And there's a lot of information about amateur radio. There's some forums on there that have some information about, radio tips and things like that. And that's kind of a work in progress. I'm trying to get some more folks on there. And I've got repeater lists for the Arkansas area. And I'm getting some more online here pretty soon. I've got an explanation of some of the amateur bands, an example of what field day is, which occurs the last full weekend in June when amateur radio is exhibited to the public, and just a whole plethora of information. Not even a little widget there on the website that tells you what the solar weather is going to do, so you can predict what the HF bands may be doing at any given point in time.
Yeah, I would imagine that has quite the effect on the waves there.
The solar activity makes a big difference, and it can be very disrupted at times, with the solar storms. And it can also be enhanced by it as well. So we just kind of keep our eyes on that, and sometimes that changes how we have to operate. We have to, move one band to another, because one band has gotten too long or too short, and it does happen.
Yeah, there's all sorts of ins and outs. 800-313-9443. We'll come back. We'll try to squeeze your call in and wrap things up with David, W5MZ, Ham Radio.
The Bob Justin Show.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbarabells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. santabarbarabells.com. Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. We'll be right back. and shirt.
W5MZ over.
Are you there?
W5MZ, are you there?
How come in my mind, every time I hear somebody talking on one of those things, it sounds like this?
Hey, are you there, David? Final segment. Let's wrap it up.
I don't know. Maybe that's just my sick imagination. David has been our special guest tonight. We've been talking about ham radio, his website, W5MZ, as he likes to say, .com. And we'll do this from time to time and get the audience aware of the very powerful communication known as ham radio. David, bottom line it for us. Give us a pitch. Why should we get involved with ham radio? What's the main reason that you've been involved with ham radio, so on and so forth? I can't hear you.
Okay. You know, it's a little unmute switch didn't work. Hey,
okay.
Technical problem.
Yeah,
okay.
How can you run a ham radio if you can't even unmute yourself on the show?
No, my finger slipped off the switch, and my finger slips off the button and accidentally hits the pickle from time to time anyway. So that's why they call it amateur radio, not professional. You know,
we are
amateurs, so you know, we make all sorts of mistakes.
I'm partly a professional myself, but go
sometimes,
ahead.
Sometimes it's very comical. Well, the biggest reason is actually the community itself, because, you know, getting involved in amateur radio, I have made so many awesome friends that are aware, awake, and useful, and have helped me throughout the years an incredible amount, you know, for absolutely no return favors. They just say, here, let me help you. You know, so being a part of that is really kind of an honor and a privilege, because, you know, it really does take a special breed. And it does kind of weed out some of the little brains, as I call them, because it is a little technical. You got to know a few things to be able to get into it, you know, but that really kind of, you know, sets you apart. I mean, it is an accomplishment. And, you know, generally the community itself doesn't really respect people that haven't gone through the work that we have, you know, to establish ourselves in this, you know, so, you know, there you go. But having access to that, you're going to have a whole band of people out there that will bend over backwards and to help you out, especially in an emergency. And that is a really valuable asset, because, you know, the more people that you have out there that can help you and be a resource to you in an adverse situation, the better. And, you know, we have a built-in community right there. You get inducted into amateur radio, you know, you're one of us now. And we're going to, you know, treat you as an equal and,
oh God, it's
and
a
respect
cult.
You. Well, yeah, call it a cult. It is the cult of amateur radio.
I don't like people, David. So I don't want to talk to people.
Well, you know what? Neither do I, for the most part, because if it wasn't for the fact that I'm on amateur radio so much, I would have grabbed a good book, dug a bunker, and just crawled in a hole a long time ago. You know, but there are plenty of worthwhile people out there, and we're engaging in a lot of conversations that are standing a chance of, you know, really waking a lot of people up, because we really can't tell how many people are listening. It goes wide and far all over the world, and we are making a difference. We're seeing it every day.
All right, well, keep up the great work, David. As much as I tease here, I'm very open to this as a great solution, as a proactive measure to open communications in times of emergency. DavidW5MZ.com is his website. Thanks again, buddy.
Yep. And email me, W5MZ at W5MZ.com. Thanks.
All right, we'll email you. And email me as well, Bob Tuscan at theintelhub.com. All right, folks. Love you. Have a great night.
Chase those crazy ballets out of town. Chase those crazy ballets out of town.
This has been another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show. Activism in action. Now go plant some seeds.
Now?